This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by Custom Car Show Productions, which includes Orange Beach Invasion, Scraping the Coast, Sick Nick, and Slamber Party. Make sure you search on Facebook Scraping the Coast, Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram. Also, Sparkles Detail, Till, Tim and Tanya, ODB and the Mayor sent you. We out you. Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 55, aka Double Nickel, coming at you live and direct. Just want to say thank you for everyone that's been listening, continuing to listen. Episode 54 was a lot of fun to put together, talking about Ice Cube's classic, It Was a Good Day, aka Today Was a Good Day. Now we're on to episode 55, and Double Nickel has a double meaning. So 55, obviously, but I wanted to kind of pay homage to the history behind Air Jordan's double nickel shoe release, which was on March 28th, 2015, which actually marked the 20th anniversary of the, quote, double nickel game. So on October 6, 93, Jordan shocked the world, and he announced his retirement. He chose to pursue his childhood dreams of becoming a professional baseball player. Of course, some of you may recall he signed a minor league contract and he wore the number 45 as the member of the Birmingham Barons. That was the double A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. So he kind of, you know, stepped away from basketball. There's a lot of conspiracy theories about why he did that. Now, the 94-95 Bulls, they struggled but received a boost when Jordan announced, quote, I'm back. That was the famous quote when he returned. That was on March 18th of 95. So, you know, MJ, he rocked, of course, the 45 jersey and a pair of Jordan 10s, which were meant to be a commemorative model. Hence, Jordan's major achievements were like on the bottom of the outsole. Now, Air Jordan Double Nickel is inspired by the 55-point performance that he had against the New York Knicks. So the shoe, again, was the 20th anniversary. It was released on March 28th. And usually a number, of course, 23 is embroidered on the shoes, but this one had a 45. So for shoe collectors out there, it was a little bit more rare. And it was a cool thing that the whole Jordan brand continues to do over time. So, you know, for me, I really enjoy the history behind Air Jordan. I grew up watching him, so you'll hear me refer to him from time to time. And my sister-in-law, she actually went to his his Hall of Fame induction. And I thought that was pretty cool. She had forged a relationship with his brother at the time, was working for Upper Deck, and he always said, hey, I'll make sure that I get you tickets when he's inducted in. He knew that she was a huge fan. She went to several of the Jordan camps that were offered when she was a lot younger, of course. You know, had a huge passion for the whole Chicago Bulls. It was a lot of fun watching them. But anyways, that's the double nickel tie-in to this episode. So 23 years ago was the double nickel game, and we're on the eve of that in a couple weeks. Now, since episode 54, we had LST take place, and we had Doing It in the Dark. So we'll talk a little bit on the next episode about those shows. We'll have Miggity Mike the Mayor back. Then we're also going to try to touch base with Radar and Lonnie to do a nice little wrap-up of LST. The show was really epic as far as what I could see, all the stories. I've listened to Ronnie from C10 Talk, had an opportunity to, you know, really start catching up on some of his episodes. And he, you know, he obviously drove out there in Yellowstone So if you're not listening to Ronnie at C10 Talk, make sure you do that. Now, as we get going with this episode, I want to give a huge shout out to Tim Hudick, Jason Diener, and Fatty B from Low Bros. These guys really helped me out on, well, let me say this. The last few weeks, I've really been putting in a lot of work on my 64 Lincoln Continental convertible. Really, since December, the homie Tony Boss Bolin has really kind of helped me out. I've spent a lot of late nights in front of my house working on the car, lots of stuff done, and really Saturday for doing it in the dark was the first time I was really driving the car. I did take it around the block about a week and a half earlier. We were basically testing out the brakes, and then we drove it up to 7-Eleven, put some fuel in it. Had a really good test for the brakes because as I was coming around the way here, a dog from the neighbor's yard ran straight out like it was going to just take out the car. And I jammed the brakes and boom, everything was perfect. So really, really, really was stoked. That was kind of the first day literally driving this car just a couple minutes. So fast forward a week and a half, I'm driving, leave the house, jump on the Veterans Expressway here. Doing it in the dark is only about 25 minutes for me. Well, we had the homie Tony Boss Bolin. He had his 65 Red Sled with the vintage camper behind it. Of course, we had the homies from Low Bros, and we head out. I'm like, hey, guys, I need to get gas, and we stop at the local gas station, turn off the car, put fuel in it. Tony's like, oh, snap, take a look. Before I knew it, fuel is pouring out from under the car, and I'm like, what in the hell's going on? That ended up being a bad seal. I actually used an old seal for the sending unit, but I've since changed that and hopefully have that resolved. Then, went to start the car, the battery was kind of on the outs, so we jumped it real quick, and as I started to pull over to the side, boom, car's dead. So we were kind of running a little late at this point, and the homie Tim from Low Bros goes, dude, let's just drop my truck, we'll push your car on, and boom, let's keep going. So these guys really helped me out, and we just made shit happen. And that's what the whole scene's about. You know, a lot of times each of these guys kind of help each other out. And I'm really the first guy that says, hey, you just got to make sure everything is in line. You don't want to have breakdowns. You don't want to hold people up. And really, that's my motto. So even myself, I kind of stretched it to the last minute. Took this car for the last, for its first ride. And there were several things on the list that I really still should have done, which was like changing the points, which I ended up doing because that was the problem. There was a bad, actually, the points, we cleaned them up a little bit, but the actual problem that day was the coil wire was totally corroded. So it wasn't getting spark. So long story short, We roll out to doing it in the dark. We have a great time. We get back home, unload the car, load his truck up, and then they cruise back. Like at this time, it was like 12:30 at night on Saturday. And then they have to cruise all the way back, way past Orlando, to get home. Of course, they got home safe. So just want to give a huge shout out. If you go on Instagram, look up Low Bros. It's just LOW and then just type in bros. You could follow them. It's Tim, Diener, and Fatty B. Real good dudes, and they continue to support the scene. We had Jason Diener on, one of our favorite episodes. Miggity Mike the Mayor loves to talk about. That's one of the best episodes, and it really was. Diener had a lot of great things to say. So good dudes, and thank you very much. Pretty much got all that stuff addressed. The homie Tony Boss Bolin was there as well. The next morning he came over. He was pretty much here before I woke up, and he already had everything resolved. I went out there, and we troubleshooted a couple things with the power probe. Boom, ready to go. Had the car rolling a little bit later that day. So definitely good stuff. Now, the next episode, we're going to have also John Turner. He's the homie from You Ain't Low, and he was at Doing It in the Dark. He's going to talk about his journey from South Florida up to Jimmy's Rod and Customs. And then, of course, from there in his Dodge pickup with a topper on it, all the way out to Conroe for LST. Dude's a junkie for trucks. I love it. He's a great guy. It's always great seeing him and great syncing up with him. So we'll talk more with John about his journey to LST. So Michael also touched on doing it in the dark details, maybe some of the specifics. The good thing I liked about the show is it wasn't as hectic as the year before. Midi Madness crew did a fantastic job getting people in as soon as they could. And then I know that there was a local car show down south for some of the victims of the shooting down there. So there were, you know, some down south guys there. There were a lot that weren't able to make it. And, you know, they were obviously supported that other event, which was cool. Now, I want to remind everyone, this episode is brought to you by Sparkles Detail, Orange Beach Invasion, and All Time Low Magazine. Visit ATLmagazine.com, click on online store, and go ahead and subscribe there for the 2018 subscription. It's $50, and you don't have to worry about it. The issues are automatically sent to you. So a couple podcast updates. We had 4 weeks in a row that we dropped a new episode on each Friday. Last Friday, I did take that time off. Really had a lot of stuff going on last week. Mike and I weren't able to sync up post-LST, so we're going to continue providing as much content as we can in 2018. Also, I met up with a homie, you've heard me mention his name before, Tony from Bare Knuckle Customs at Doing It in the Dark, and we're close to finishing and being able to offer some merchandise for our listeners. So we did some test runs of some different shirts, and we're, you know, real pleased with the outcome of those. So look for some information very soon in the Airhead Nation Facebook group. We'll, of course, mention it here on the podcast as well. So if you're looking to get in with some of the OLP shirts that have the spinoff, the original Rad movie logo, definitely be on the lookout. We got those coming real soon. So the scene updates, I did want to mention Outcast Customs, who we've mentioned a long time ago after one of our SEMA updates. The homie there actually won with his C10 Best of Show at LST. So it's Outcast with a K underscore Customs with a K. You can follow them and you'll get a chance to see all the Bay, BAE 2.0 hashtag photos from the epic award that's manufactured by Philbuilt Designs. So really, really good stuff. Outcast Customs, huge shout out. Those guys really deserved it. I saw the truck at SEMA, and it's amazing. It's a cover truck from Street Trucks. Huge shout out. Huge congratulations to those guys. Again, Philbuilt Designs all together. That's Phil up in Ottawa, Ontario. Real good dude. He supports the podcast. He's always liking our photos, and we do the same. Bay 2.0, as it's named, is going to go on an epic journey for the next 12 months. So we're looking forward to seeing what Outcast Customs will bring. The show looked amazing. And as I mentioned, we're going to try to sync up with Lonnie and Radar and have them on to do kind of a wrap-up. If you haven't made plans to attend in 2019, please make sure you do. I know that the rain, you know, Mother Nature, so to speak, was a real big challenge, but they pushed through and everything worked out as it always does. So we're excited that everyone had a great time at Lone Star Throwdown. So some music and industry updates. I finally got a chance to watch All Eyes on Me, the Tupac movie. I thought it was good. But as many of you know, it really centered around an interview that he gave when he was first locked up at the Clinton Correctional Facility. It was an interview there, and the whole movie was built around that interview. I've watched that interview several times on YouTube and whatnot. A lot of good things that he had to say. And when you watch the movie, it really paints a picture that he did get locked up that first time for something that was total BS. Now, personally, I'm looking forward to a future movie that will really hit upon his entire life. I know there was a lot of controversy towards the end of the movie after his mother, Afeni, had passed. There were some people saying that she would have never approved of it, but of course, she apparently had entrusted in her longtime lawyers to, you know, she basically took their word, and supposedly she wasn't happy with how it was coming out. However, you know, obviously Tupac is a huge name. He died when he was 25, and I really do think that there'll be another movie, and it will be even more encompassing of him, the artist. Wu-Tang fans, so U-God, who's one of the lesser known members of the Wu-Tang, he made an appearance on Jimmy Fallon. If you go on his Instagram, you can follow him. It's U-God, U-G-O-D underscore Zilla, Z-I-L-L-A. Now the U-God, he was there promoting his new book, which actually dropped on March 6th, a couple of days ago. And the album Venom is out on March 30th. He's one of the more slept-on members of the Wu-Tang, the original nine members. If you go on Spotify or Apple Music, check out Fire. If you just search like Method Man or You God, you'll see the track Fire, and that's a really badass track. And also, You God dropped Epicenter in 2018. That features Raekwon and Spekta Dek as well. Both really, really classic kind of Wu-Tang tracks. And I'm definitely looking forward to Venom, which is out on March 30th. So a couple Lincoln Addict updates. You can follow me on Instagram at Lincoln Addict. And, of course, I'm a huge fiend for those 61 through 67, 69-ish Lincoln Continentals, whether it's the four-door sedan or it's the convertible or it's the two-door coupe that they offered for 2.5 years, definitely have these cars now have a huge cult following. I followed these cars for a long time, as many of you know. Growing up with my birthday on November 23rd, I continued to always see and read about JFK, and he was, of course, in a Lincoln Continental with the rear suicide doors, as everyone knows those cars. Over the years, I've read a lot about them, tried to study them, understand the challenges with them, and I have a couple of my cars, 67 sedan, and now the 64 convertible that Tony found for me, which I'm dubbing Smuggler's Blues. Now, my dad and I, rest in peace, Papa Smurf, he turned me on to a lot of music. And Glenn Frey was one of the members of the Eagles. Rest in peace to Glenn Frey, died a couple years ago, passed away. He had a classic track titled Smuggler's Blues, and that was tied into the whole Miami Vice era. Love the track, kind of has that 80s feel to it. So Project Smuggler's Blues is now rolling, thanks to Boss Bolin. As I mentioned, I think on a previous episode as well, lots of work went into the car. New brake lines, hoses, fuel tank, fuel lines, rebuilt brake booster, fuel pump was rebuilt, a carburetor was rebuilt. Some of these things were done by my friend Blair Farmer out in Clearwater, Florida. I mean, so many different things. I mean, it was a couple of months of literally, no brakes, pedal to the metal, trying to hustle. If you go on, if you're a Lincoln fan, go on thelincolnforum.net. There's a subsection, Updating, Modernizing, and Customizing, and it's under Customized Member Projects. You'll see Smuggler's Blues listed there. Now, the video that I posted on Instagram, I posted it a couple of days ago on @LincolnAddict, but I also posted it on my personal Instagram, which is @BD94S10. At the very end, you'll see a quick photo I threw in there, and that is the beginning of the rendering by Jake at Rendered by Thor. So if you look on Instagram, it's Rendered by Thor, and it's all together. You'll get a chance to see this guy's got mad skills, younger cat, and he's out in the Orlando area. Now, I tend to jump around from projects, but you can't go wrong with his artwork. The way I look at it is, hey, I'm going to put this in my man cave. Plus, it gives me insight to what I want to see with the finished product. Now, I saw Jake at Doing It in the Dark, fresh off his LST trip, and he's doing really well. As I mentioned, check him out. It's @RenderedByThor. He's really, really, really talented. You'll see that. If you look through his feed, he'll render anything from a muscle car to a mini truck. And he's really, really got some skills. So if you're looking for a rendering or you want any kind of artwork, reach out to him. I think his email address is listed right within his profile, or you can send him a direct message. Now, my homie, Tony, and it's @BossBolin. That's @BossBolin on Instagram. He killed it at Doing It in the Dark. He had his red 65, which we refer to as the red sled. And he threw on a rare trailer hitch option for the Lincolns. And he picked up a vintage Scotty camper that he did some work to. It's totally restored. And when the car's laid out and the camper's on the back, it's just epic. Got a lot of compliments, a lot of thumbs up on the way there. It's definitely a badass setup. Now, Tony, of course, he wants to airbag the trailer, and I know it's going to even look better. He did have some brake challenges leading up to the doing it in the dark. He actually went as far as swapping the booster. We even bypassed the front metering valve, but actually we found out the rear metering valve, which was totally, you know, these things are totally unnecessary on these damn cars. The metering valves basically were leaking, at least the rear one was. So we should be able to have all the brake lines, a couple of the lines that we need to make, fixed and you know, reinstalled, and we'll be good to go. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor. Make sure you check out Hammered Weekend Wear. It's hammeredapparel.com. That's H-A-M-M-E-R-D apparel.com. Also, check them out on Instagram and tap the link in their bio. They support OLP. Let's support Hammered Weekend Wear. Back to the episode. But all in all, it all worked out. As Papa Smurf always said, a plan loves it when a plan comes together. I will also tell you that Tony can change a brake booster without taking anything out of the dash. And I swear it's like 20 minutes, boom, probably less, more like 15 minutes. I did mention changing the booster on my 64. I looked in the book and I was like, well, I got to do this and this and this. And Tony was like, don't touch anything. I'll be over there in a little while. And he came by later that day with one extension, boom, boom, boom. Brake booster fell out. And swapped it. So he did the same thing on his, but the 67 booster, which is the best booster out of all those years, he had sent it out to a guy that rebuilds them in Oregon. His name's Booster Dewey is what he goes by. He had it rebuilt, but apparently there was some sort of problem with it. So Tony went ahead and put the factory one back on, and then he changed it again because we were kind of chasing the issue, only to find out that it was the metering valve. We're going to remake a few brake lines for it, and then boom, like I mentioned, you know, he'll be good to go. So a couple weeks ago, the homie Tony, he also had another parts car show up from Connecticut. It's a 64 convertible. And as everybody knows, these Lincolns are, everybody keeps saying they're tough to find, but you can find them. And Tony finds them like no tomorrow. You know, he'll have them delivered from the Northeast. The Carolinas recently, one came in, and he primarily buys convertibles because there are certain parts that people need. So he'll buy the parts, or he'll buy the car, rip the car apart, certain things that he needs, he'll sell and that type of thing, whatnot. But I say that because I met a guy by the name of Brian Morris, and you may not know his name, but if you look up on Instagram, you're definitely going to want to follow him. It's Haunt Rod, H-A-U-N-T-R-O-D. This guy, Brian, builds some super sick stuff, including, look up the hashtag, Jailbus. As soon as you see that, you're probably going to remember, oh man, I've seen this guy's work before. Tony had showed me some photos of what Brian had built, and he had met Brian over the years on Facebook. You know, Brian's constantly looking for badass projects, laying out these big buses, you know, aka the Jailbus. I think recently I saw he posted an update. He's got another badass bus that just came in. He's really dabbling in all kinds of badass shit. He just left his high-paying day job, he was telling us. He showed up, I think, at Tony's shop at, it was almost 10:30 at night, single cab, Duramax dually with a 40-some-odd foot trailer, had that thing loaded down, dropped off the parts car there, talked to us a few minutes, loaded up. He was going to Newport Richey to pick up, I think it was a truck, and then he was headed down towards Miami. This guy had an awesome, you know, day job that he did for years, but like so many of us, we just get bored. It's like, man, this is not our calling. And Brian said, dude, I peaced out of there. Called my wife one day, said, I want to come home. Boom, went home. And he's been on this epic journey of hot rod, everything hot rods. There were some things he shared, some big projects that he's got that are coming up that I can't really talk about. However, I wanted to mention Brian Morris because we're going to have him on in the very near future. He's going to be a badass guest, really humble guy. Like I said, rolling solo in the single cab, a Duramax dually with the big-ass trailer, and just chopped it up a few minutes, man. Really just a guy that lives with no brakes, if you will. And he's at Haunt Rod, H-A-U-N-T-R-O-D. So look up that hashtag jailbus. Super, super, super awesome guy. Now, wanted to bring up, kind of in this miscellaneous updates I'm providing, a previous guest by the, goes by Instagram. It's Coon Ash Jeremy. If you look him up, you saw that I reshared one of the photos that he shared. It was an epic photo shoot by I Hate Phil. It was after LST. And I think it's his homie... Might be his homie's girl. You'll see I tagged them both, but another epic Toyota, kind of two side-by-side, crazy graphics, old-school-looking wheels, really captures what mini trucking has always been about. I would not be surprised if that photo shoot didn't show up on the cover of Truckin'. It seems like anytime you flip open Truckin' Mag, like this new issue that just came, I mean, I Hate Phil or Phil Gordon is all over that magazine as far as the features. He's really been doing a lot of work. And from the outtakes of the, you know, the camera phone pictures, if you will, from that photo shoot, I really think that that could easily be a cover of Truckin', and I hope that it is. Of course, that's probably going to be the subscription issue if it is a cover. But regardless, that feature is going to run. I definitely highly suggest that everybody run out and get a Truckin' subscription, because the subscription covers are way better in my opinion. I don't get paid by Truckin' at all. I just know that it's a good magazine. One thing you'll note is that magazine continues to get more thin. Over the years, that magazine was pretty dang thick when they were running boats and they were running all kinds of stuff. And, you know, as the economy's changed and a lot of things go into online and digital, that magazine is shrinking. And when you compare it even to like street trucks, it's pretty freaking thin. So like I always tell people, you know, don't be, you know, one of the people that if a magazine collapses or something and we go, oh, that sucks. You know, the best thing you can do is you can go out, you can subscribe, you can purchase a couple issues on newsstands, or you can also support the advertisers. So Orange Beach Invasion is just a hair over a week away. We're really looking forward to it. It's going to be an awesome weekend. You definitely want to look up the event. If you cannot make it this year, I know some of you are listening going, man, I can't make it. It's, you know, it's out of the cards. Hey, totally get it. I can't make all the shows either. But if you go on Facebook and search Orange Beach Invasion, you want to make sure you click like on the page. There's also a group, I believe, where you can kind of conversate about that event. Greg Miller, that puts on the show with Custom Car Show Productions, he does multiple shows. The next one after this is going to be Scraping the Coast. So he's obviously a sponsor of the podcast, and we highly suggest that everyone goes out and supports Orange Beach Invasion. If you've been looking at the weather has changed for the good. My wife updates me every day, and for Saturday, the weather's looking real good. I think there's even going to be a little bit of a cold front that may come through, so I'm going to monitor that very closely as we move into that week. I have that Friday off. I'm going to be up early. We're going to cruise out. We're going to have a great time, and hopefully we'll be able to link up with some of the people around this area. I know Richard Edwards at Simplistic and some of the Acro guys, so on and so forth. Any of those folks, boom, you know, we'll hit 75 North and make our trek up. We mentioned in the recent past that we were going to have OLP Day. I hadn't really came back to the subject. We did have to postpone it, primarily just because there's a lot of stuff going on, and easily you could say that any time of the year, but it's true. Really, all the cards did not align the way I had hoped. So although it would have been awesome to have it the day after doing it in the dark, you know, there were even some people that weren't staying in town that night that I wished that would have been there. So it's going to be good that we'll be able to kind of go through the checklist and make sure everything is set. We really want to have an old school type event where there'll be mini trucks, cars, some BMX. You know, the people really is what it's about. Rest assured, we will make it happen. It will have people from all over the state, hopefully. And it's going to be an old school day, so definitely looking forward to it. Now, I want to thank all the recent peeps that have went out to iTunes and given us a review. As I've mentioned, unfortunately, at this time, you can't do a review through the podcast app on your iPhone. But we all know iTunes is kind of like the place to be when it comes to podcasting and podcasts. So if you go out there, you can leave a review. You just got to go to the podcast section within iTunes. You can go to iTunes.com and download iTunes. But we did have a recent review, and this one's by Raygun Fab. And the title is Real OG Stuff Right Here, 5-star. Great coverage of the automotive and truck scene, builds and shops pushing the boundaries on what's possible with vehicle mods. All sorts of other great content and always diverse. I'm a big fan of these guys and putting it out there, or what these guys are putting out there. Hey, definitely appreciate it, Raygun Fab. That was back on February 27th. I read the other reviews on the last episode. We certainly appreciate that. It's very motivating to hear that people enjoy what we do. It's not something that is quick. As you could tell, we really put a lot of passion into trying to produce the best podcast we can. Listening to Ronnie from C10 Talk, the C10 Nation is really gelled together. They really support each other. We've seen these toy drives, and we've seen it also from the mini truck side. But the C10 Nation is really gelled together. I mean, those guys, you know, they support each other, like I mentioned, going to shows. They do these huge cruises. They cruise across the country, eastbound and down, tons of other shows. And I would love to continue to see the mini truck scene have that same approach. A lot of the guys in the C10s probably started in the mini trucks and the hot rods and that type of thing. Or hell, maybe they're new to the scene. The point is, I think one of the things that you'll continue to see from us is trying to make the whole scene kind of come together. You know, Mini Truckin' Magazine was what got a lot of us into this thing. And, Mini Truckin' Magazine has come and gone. And now it's like, it's our opportunity to, put the stake in the ground and say, hey, man, this is the scene that we all enjoy. Let's all try to help each other out, do what we can. I know, like, Eric Tapia, he's been hustling with the homie Eating Pavement with Tony Rispoli. They've been hustling on his truck. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about getting out there, helping people out, enjoying the show. Hell, Eric was at doing it in the dark. He didn't have his truck there, but he was taking photos. He had his son there, saw his wife. I mean, just having a good old time, man. Had the chairs kicked back. One of his posts even said, it's my favorite part of the show, just sitting down, having a brew, talking with the homies. That's truly what it's about. And you'll see that same camaraderie on the C10 Nation. And not saying that we don't have it in the mini truck scene, I just think that we can ramp it up and do even better. So some of the things, you know, we're going to start here with ourselves. You'll see us doing some things this year, like OLP Day and some other things we have in the works, to try to reinforce that a lot of the folks in the scene were doing great things, and let's highlight those things as well. So we always talk about being positive and, you know, keeping that pedal stomped to the floor. No brakes, dog. You know what I mean? Want to give a shout out to Aftermath Designs. Make sure you follow on Instagram. Also, on YouTube, search Grinder TV and Low Life Mikey Show or Low Life Show. Both of those YouTube channels bring great content, and we continue to support them and they support us. Make sure you click like and follow on their pages, if you will. And watch their videos, leave comments, and share the hell out of them. Well, that's it. Double nickel is in the bank. So we have enjoyed 55 episodes. We've got plenty more in store. I hope you like the intro. We're going to also do the outro to some I Can't Drive 55. So that little bit of a tie-in. But, hearing from people, always talking about they love the diversity of the podcast. You know, you'll see me post stuff from Nintendo. You'll see me post stuff from, you know, Air Jordan up to mini trucks to BMX. Man, dude, anything that's badass and cool and that I think that you guys would like, we post that shit. So thanks for all the love from the LST coverage. Mike did a fantastic job out there. We had over 200,000 impressions from LST week or weekend, almost more than we had at SEMA. And we were at SEMA for an entire week. So that's people that view a photo, like a photo, click a photo, save a photo, share a photo, just on Instagram, over 200,000. So for anybody that is looking to advertise with us, we get plenty of views. And remember, it's not always about likes. You can have a photo that has 10 likes that's seen by thousands of people. Now, typically people like photos, but not everybody does, believe me. I'll see photos that I'll post that'll have 1,000 views and 100 likes. You figure that one out. So with that being said, I just want to say I appreciate y'all. Airhead Nation, We are here. Peace.